Thank you. Okay. So if you haven't, please come up to the front. Please come up to the front. Let's give them a round of applause. These are our new brothers and sister. We have one more, a few more coming, but these are, all right, just give them a round of applause. Say hi. So can you introduce yourself? Say hi, my name is? Audrey. Hi, my name is? And hi, my name is? Franklin. Welcome, everybody. All right, have a seat. Welcome, welcome. All right, will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to church. And even though we're not all here today, Father, I ask for your blessing for those who aren't, Lord. I pray for those that as they are vacationing, as they are traveling, or whatever it is that they're doing, Lord, that you would send them their blessings from here, Lord. Help them to understand that this is their family. This is the body of Christ that we want to build up together. God bless them. Bless us today, Lord. Open up our hearts and minds. Allow your spirit to edify us, Lord. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us that we may not just hear these words, but Father, that we may live them out. God bless us today. Help us to do the things you call us to do. And as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, may we submit to one another as if we're submitting unto the Lord. We thank you, Father, for your blessings. We love you, God, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, welcome. So today's lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Okay? You guys can have that in your Bible. So, you know, we're going through this sermon series, and we're always talking about walking in a manner worthy of our calling. And any one of us, or I would imagine most of us, right, all come to church because we want to know who Jesus Christ is, right? That's why we come to church? I hope so. We can don't get me wrong, it's okay to come to church and meet your friends and all these things. There's nothing wrong with that. But the main reason is we come here to church to know about Jesus, right? Okay. And that being said, we're going through the book of Ephesians. I know you guys, you new ones who are here, you guys are completely new to this and all that that's going on. But we're basically going through the whole book of Ephesians. I've been preaching on it for 4 months now, somewhere thereabouts. Okay? So we're going to go through it. We're almost done. And we're at this part on about relationships, walking in a manner worthy of relationships. Last week we talked about husbands and wives and what those relationships mean, which leads to our next chapter in our study here, which talks about relations between children and adults. So if you guys will read with me. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, for which is the first commandment with a promise, so that you may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. You know, all the way up to this point, everything that I talked about was all in relations that future thinking, right? Because we're not mothers and fathers yet. But I kind of talked about why it's important to start thinking about these things, right? For example, I said, women, you have to be strong. Don't fall for their just pretty face, okay? Don't do it. Like I said, the guy has to love you through and through. Literally, he has to say, I'm willing to die for you. If he's not willing to say that, he's not the one, okay? Guys, I told you, it's much more than getting on our knees and saying, will you marry me, right? Because when you say these words, what you're actually saying is, will you trust me with the rest of your life? Not an easy task. But literally to say, I will cover you, I'll redeem you as Jesus redeemed the church. That's the kind of responsibility us men have. Not only that, we have the responsibility of raising up our families. So all of these things are very difficult things. And in fact, God calls us to do some incredibly hard things too. Because as a child, I remember growing up resenting my father, right? I'll be honest with you. He was never around. He had several businesses in Korea when we were growing up. And he would fly back and forth to Hawaii like 3 or 4 times a year. He would spend most of the time in Korea. And in fact, it was so prominent that he was there. You know, our family used to joke around, oh yeah, dad has a second family in Korea and all these things. we were joking around, but the reality is we're building resentment. And I thought of all these things that, you know, as I wanted to present this this sermon to you, I was thinking about how can I make it real for you guys? Like, because it's much more than, you know, just listen to your parents. Because we'll get into that, because the wording in the Greek is the exact same wording that's used for wives submitting to husbands. It's the exact same one. In other words, to yield to them in all aspects of our lives, right? But that's the challenge. Because I know each and every one of us has a mother and a father, right? And each one of us, whether we may have good relationships or bad relationships with them, because we both do it, regardless of, from time to time, right, we can feel strains in this relationship. And regardless how good or bad it is, at times it can always be rocky. And this is not just for mother and father's relationship with us, but this is any relationship we have. But it's something different when we're talking about our moms and dads. Because like I said on Friday, right, God set up the system of how everything is supposed to be. And he used the family as the guiding point of all relationships, right? Because from the very beginning, God established the family as the first unit to build society. And nothing has changed. Because if no church, no community, no nation can be stronger than the families that make it up, right? And that's why last week we studied this about husbands and wives and why this relationship is so important. We understood that between husband and wives, there's an obligation to one another, right? We learned wives submit to husbands. Husband, love your wives as God, as Jesus loved the church. But we also talked about a parental obligation. We started talking about how parents are to allow their children to grow, right? And this is actually God's design for it. And today we're going to look at something a little bit different, because up to this point, like I said, all these other obligations were all on the outside. This is the time where God is speaking to you guys directly when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, and that's the key, in the Lord. But we'll get into that in a second. Because today we're going to look at how the Bible teaches on these things, not only parental duties, but more importantly, what are your duties regarding your parents. And today this sermon is going to break out into two groups. One is going to be to the ones who are you guys, the ones that are growing up, and to the ones that are helped raising to grow you up, which are your parents. And this is in two parts. The first three verses are all for you guys. The last verse is for dads, okay? We'll talk about that in a second. But this is what we're looking at, because we're looking at what God teaches us as far as family is concerned, okay? Because up to this point in our series, everything that I've spoken about has neglected the role of children. But this passage makes things very clear, right? And he breaks it down into two very specific things. What we think and what we do, right? Because those are very important. What we think and what we do. And I'll get into this. Okay. What we think. Let me ask you guys this. Would it be okay, right, if someone asks you, can you do me a favor? And you say, okay, what is it? Say, well, I need you to take something to the store for me, right? So as you take something and you say, okay, what is it? What can I take to the store for you, right? And I say, well, I need you to return something for me, right? And later on you find out it's a Costco deal, so they take everything back, right? But as you return it, the person who does the returning, right, so your friend asks you to do it, but what you didn't know was that this item was maybe a stolen item. And you're doing something illegal and you're returning for that person. Right? How does that make you feel? And I'll explain why all of this matters, okay? Because it's all about the attitude and the actions that go behind it. You could just have simply returned it, right? Not know anything behind what the guy did, and he gets store credit and everything is fine. What if later on you find out that, yeah, it was stolen, and you did something illegal? How would that make you feel? In both instances, you did exactly the same thing. The only difference is, you know the reason behind it, right? In situation one, or situation A, No problem. You just do it. Everything. Situation two, you did it. You still did it. But then you realize afterwards what you have done. It's all about the attitude. Because each and every one of us can harbor these feelings, right? I listen to mom and dad for everything that they tell me to do, right? But inside we're like, oh, I hate the fact they're making me do this. You can have the right thing to do, but have the wrong attitude. And this is what Paul speaks about. He said, excuse me, children are told to obey the parent. This word obey is the same word that is submit, as in wives submit to husbands. There's nothing different. This is the exact same verb, right? It literally means to hear under. This means that any child ought to listen to the voice of their parents attentively. Not like, oh, you know, I love my son and daughter. My son doesn't really care about anything I say. Kelly! Kelly! Kelly, daddy's mad! That's when his ears come up, right? Kyla, I talk to him. Kyla, yes, daddy! And she runs right to me. And there's a difference. And why do I... And so I'm going to talk about what I'm doing wrong right now. I'm comparing my two children. That's something wrong, too. But the reason why this is so important is because what I see, the attitude of my son, and he'll listen to me, right? He'll listen to me after I say, Kelly, get down here right now! Not only after I yell. My daughter, I just say, Kyla, and she comes down right away. There's a difference in attitude there. One does it because he has to, right? I'm his father, and I expect certain things, and he's going to listen to dad, but his heart really doesn't want to do it. Okay? The other thing that, what Kyla is, she may not want to do it, but she always wants to make me happy. I love that. And she comes here and says, yeah, oh, daddy, I don't want to clean the house. It's your chore day today. Okay. I say, okay, let's do it together. And she's happy. See, this is not unlike our relationship with God. And this is why I said this is the foundational relationship in all of our relationships in the family. Right? If we can't trust authority within mom and dad, how are we going to trust authority in God and Jesus that we don't see? That's why this is the most foundational thing. And even though you guys may not think about it now, right? I'm sure at one point or another, all of you guys heard your mom and dad says, wait till you guys become parents. Right? I don't know if you guys did. My mom used to tell me that. Wait till you become a dad and you'll see all the crap you're telling me right now. Right? Wait till you become a parent. So that's where we are. It's all about this attitude. Obedience in the home lays the foundation for obedience through all of your lives. If you can trust God of the universe, right, that comes down to your obedience to his word, too. Everything comes down to your obedience. Whether the alignment of the stars, whether it's the animal kingdom and how everything works, God is the one in command. And even our very salvation all hinged on obedience as well. You know what that obedience was? You think Jesus wanted to die for us? In fact, Jesus pleaded with God, God, my cup is overflowing. I can't do it. Our very own salvation lies on obedience to the Father. And what's funny is, of all God's beautiful, glorious, created things, in all of creation, there's only one thing that actively rebels against him. And you know who that is? His most prized possession, and that's us. Even from the Garden of Eden, Adam and God said, don't eat this. Oh, this one? I'm going to eat it. It's in our nature. The very people that he says, you are my crowning glory of achievement, we're the only ones who actively rebel against him. This is why it's important. Obedience in the home is foundational. The way you guys listen to your parents matters. You cannot just say, mom and daddy, yes, no. Like, you have to have a real desire to please them. This setting of obedience that God gives in front of our family is all about learning respect of authority. When we learn to obey our parents' voices, we learn to listen to our teachers' voices, we learn to learn our president's voices, our government's voices. We understand that we are all connected to each other and that there's always some form of authority. Ultimately, always leading up to God as the ultimate authority. God speaks of this, Paul speaks of this in the second way, about our attitudes. Not only in our actions that we need to comply and listen to everything mommy and daddy says to us, but it's also to honor our parents, to respect and hold in high regard. Okay, so this past weekend, Keone was, oh man, I love that kid, but he's one of those, eight, like at 3 years, he, terrible twos, you think all, no, he's actively rebelling now. And so he's grounded from electronics at my house. Okay. And this kid is so smart. He always says, yeah, daddy, I'm doing something. And he sneaks away and he grabs a tablet. We have like four or five tablets in our house and he always knows where they are. Every single one of them, it irritates me, even though I hide it. And he sneaks off into them and he does it. And what's, oh, man, I love my daughter too. I love her too. But man, she's such an enabler. She loves Keone so much, right? Kyla, where's the tablet? No, daddy's going to get mad. No. I'll get the tablet. Okay, I want to make Opa happy. So she finds it and gives it to him. I don't know what's going on. I'm doing yard work or something. And then next thing I know is I hear my wife yelling, Howard, Johnny's doing something bad. I run inside the house. What's going on? And I see this tablet in his hand. I said, who gave you this tablet? He's just frozen, but he's smiling because he doesn't take me seriously. Yeah. My daughter, on the other hand. The waterworks. She's a drama queen. Waterworks are, daddy. And I look at the two and I say, wow, that's God's relationship right here. Right? Because some are proud. Some know that God loves them and he'll always protect them and always do these things. And just show them grace and all these things. Because I do that with my son. I'm praying that he comes over to my daughter's side. I want my daughter to go a little bit over to my son's side so she doesn't always have to feel this kind of pressure. Because we don't always want to feel, oh, God is oppressing us and all this. But when so here's the point. I said, Johnny, who did, and then Johnny's just laughing and kind of like, really, one is laughing, one is crying right in front of me. I was like, oh, man. And I go to kind of, you know what that made me feel like? Like she really cares about everything I think about, everything that I say. As a parent, I'm like, I don't have favorites. I love you too. I'm not going to say it. I love them too. I love them too, period. I love them too. But there's one that really, see, this is both hands sides of God, right? The graceful side and the building side. And God teaches me like this, you know. You made lots of mistakes too, you know? But then you got to have the right heart. And that's what I look at my children. You got to have that right attitude. See, it's not just about simple respect of parents, right? It's about our attitudes and everything how we revere our parents. You know, earlier I told you growing up, my father wasn't around, and I really resented that. I resented the fact that he was here, or he was in my life maybe 4 months out of the year. And in that 4 months, all he ever did was just be critical of me. Right? You're not smart enough. You're not doing the right things. You need to do this. You need to do that. How many of you guys as students, as parents, you don't have to embarrass yourself. You don't have to say that. You don't have to raise your hand. But I know I went through it. So I have a feeling that you guys probably go through it too. Right? This kind of oppression from our parents. And that's wrong too. And that's what we're going to speak about that in a second. But this is the whole point. We ought to honor them. It's not just as simple of, you know, I'm going to follow and listen, but really to have that right attitude to say, God, I trust you, my parents, I trust you in everything that they're doing. Help me. Right? And all of this, like I said, are really, really hard things. Because growing up, I learned all of these stories too. How can I hate my father? How can, in fact, I know the Heavenly Father when my own father, all he does is berates me and belittles me and make me feel like garbage every time? Well, that's how God works. You know what's crazy? That's why it's so important to me. I call my father 3 times a week. I have Keone talk to him at least 2 times a week. And the reason why is I want to make up for lost time. You know, God is a gracious God. And I think my father, he doesn't regret, but my father says, I'm sorry a lot. And he says, he's proud of me now. But that's something that I have to learn. That's something I have to figure out later on. This is something my dad had to figure out later on. What I'm telling us today is, I don't know where you guys are as far as your relationship with your parents. It may be good, it may be bad. Whatever the case is, it can always be better. And how can it be better? By doing these very things. Listen to your parents and honor them in everything you do. We're an Asian society. We know all about honor, right? We've been told from day one, right? You know, you dishonor us, you dishonor your family, you know, you dishonor yourself, right? We only hear all the negative aspects of honor. But when we talk about the positive aspects of honor, this is what God is saying. You honor them, and you learn how to be obedient. You learn how to give and do the things for the right reasons. There's incredible blessings in your life. Because everything that we're learning, everything that the Bible teaches us, is for our benefit. God doesn't put these words on our pages just for fun. He's telling us with instructions, this is the best life you can have. So he says, you youth, obey your parents and honor them in everything you do. Never mind, and you know one thing I hate? Oh, my son. He's starting to do this. He's talking under his breath. Johnny, no. What? What'd you just say, boy? Nothing, Dad. And, you know, none of that, too. That's not honoring. You know, you really got to honor them. You know, and it's not hard. I mean, it's really hard. And trust me, growing up with an iron fist of a father, I mean, like I said, in today's time, that would be called abuse. Like, you can't do what he did. you just can't. But what he did to me, that's how he grew up. And I don't blame him or anything like this. I won't do that to my son because I grew up in a different era. Like, you know, I'm not growing up in a war-torn country. You know, I'm not growing up without any food. I didn't grow up without, you know, having been separated from mom and dad for like over 10 years. I wasn't separated from my family at like 9 years old. So I don't know any of those things that he went through. But I was blessed because of those things that he did go through. Because it made me understand what I need to do with my next generation. And this is what this is all about. This is about your futures and what God is going to call you. Because I'm sure every single one of you at one time, and I would love to see you guys get married. And not only that you guys get married, that you guys make beautiful children with your spouses. And that you bring them all back to CCIC. And then we all continue this family, right? We keep growing because this is what it's all about. Your futures. I gain nothing by telling you guys to honor your parents. I gain nothing by doing these things. You gain everything by doing them. That's what this point is all about. Because it's not only for you guys. There's also a challenge to parents too. Right? There's a saying. Right? Because all of these things that God calls us to is always hard, but we can do it with one way. As if we're doing it for the Lord. Obey and honor as if you're doing it for Jesus. A little bit different, right, than saying for mom and dad. Obey and honor for the person who sacrificed everything for you. Sounds more powerful, doesn't it? Sounds more empowering. Obey and honor for the one who loves you. That's what it's all about. A life that is pleasing and honoring to God. Every thought, every word, every action to honor and please God. And you know what? The Bible says it this way. Do it in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible is saying this. You know, mom and dad, you want to make them happy? Great. But let's think about next level. What about Heavenly Father? right? Everything that he says, obey them, do this, honor them, not to make mom and dad happy, no. This is your responsibility with your relationship with God, because as you do these things, you're honoring the Father. Because the Bible says, do these things as if you're honoring in the Lord, for this is right. This is what God calls us to do. This is the righteousness of God. You honor mom and dad. Yes, the benefit is they love you more because, oh, my son and daughter, they're so good. Jane. Right? But no, the bigger picture is our Heavenly Father looks at us and says, you the one. You the one. You guys, man, I'll give you a round of applause. I love you guys so much. You know, the feeling, I don't know if you guys, the boys were here practicing on Wednesday, and I took a picture, and I put it on Facebook, and I said, oh, these, you know, the only reason why I did it, I had this incredible sense of pride. I would imagine when we do these things for God, you guys, man, I did something right with y'all. No? I don't know, that's what I think with Coyote. But that's it. As if we're doing it for God. All of these things, yes, sometimes our parents can be mean, yes, but that's, God will deal with them. Our responsibility is what we can control. What we say, what we do, what we think, and how we do them. And God calls us to be excellent always. And verse 4 is for the fathers. Whew. Paul's words were necessary in this time. You got to understand. This is dysfunctionality in its greatest, right? It wasn't uncommon for Greeks or Roman culture, right? Where men and women have multiple marriages throughout their lifetime. In fact, you would have different family groups living with different family groups from one father and different mothers. How chaotic and dysfunctional would that be? In fact, most fathers ruled with an iron fist. History tells us that fathers held all the power of life and death within the family. For example, a father can literally force a child out of their home at any time. A father could sell their children as slaves at any time. Not only could a father sell them as slaves, he could also enslave them for himself. You are now my slave and you will work my fields. This really happens. The father can take the law into his own hand, literally saying, my son is not worthy, and kill that my son or my daughter. Literally execute them without any consequences. He literally could put them to life and death with just a simple thought. Infants were literally placed at the feet of the fathers. Why? To inspect them. If he picked up the child and if it wasn't acceptable, he would just literally drop the child and walk away as if it wasn't worthy of anything. And history tells us that in that day, right, that any and everything that happened within the family, the father had total authority. So much so, the senator Seneca said it this way. People who live in Rome, right, said it like this. We slaughter a fierce fox. We strangle a mad dog. We plunge a knife into a sick cow. Children who are born weak or deformed are drowned. This is the reality. Spartans were even more worse. Right? If any of you ever studied Sparta and Athens, like, they were warring class. If there was any deformity, there were literally cliffs where all these baby bones, because they were thrown off the cliff because they weren't unworthy. This is the backdrop of what Paul is talking about. We don't have mothers and fathers that think like that. But the truth is, there's still a lot of neglect out there. Right? There are a lot of parents. In fact, you know what the number one reason for youth going into foster care is? It's not drugs, it's not divorce, it's not finances. You know what it is? It's literally mothers and fathers don't caring and not caring anymore about their children. I don't know about you, but if I'm growing up and I'm in a house where I don't feel love, I don't feel protected, I'd be crazy too. But we're not in this group. right? I don't think most of us, we have loving parents, right? So the point of all of this is, how can we be better where we're at? If we know this is bad, this is really bad, where are we in that equation? And if we are anywhere near that, how can we be better? And if we're not near that, how do we stay that way? Once again, it goes back to this simple formula. Honor your mother and father and do it in obedience. Paul's words were very necessary. And this is the caution, and this is for you too, and this is something I think of all the time, because of all the times I make punish Keone, there's two times where he got Luke. Oh yeah, Dad! That's the warning right here. Don't do that. And all these things, and I know all of us have felt this one or another, when our parents are overprotective, you cannot do that. I know this is the truth for all you. We all want to grow up and feel like we're adults, but our parents always treat us like little ones, right? They don't give us opportunities to grow. The youth leaders don't give you guys opportunities to grow. We're going to change that. We will. And we started this Friday. We want you guys to grow up the best way you guys can do it. Not being overprotective. Not playing favorites. That's something I always do. Having unrealistic expectations. Constant discouragement. You know what? You're so bad. You're terrible. You're never going to amount to anything. You're no good. You're a failure. Label them as nuisances. Man, you always make so much trouble. Why won't you grow up? Hurry up. Why don't you know these kinds of things already? Love as a reward or punishment. Oh, you're so good. You're such a good listener. I love you so much. Oh, you're so bad. You know what? I don't love you. It happens. Physical abuse. Verbal abuse. These are all the negative sides if a parent doesn't do it right. You guys, I see all your long faces. So I know all of you guys know what I'm talking about right now. Every one of us probably heard this at one point or another. But the Bible says that there's a better way, that we need to bring them up. This phrase is the same idea of nourishment, of nourishing, right? When you get a plant, you germinate it. I love this. And you put it into a seed. And what do you do with that seed? You put water, and then what else do you do to it? Put in sunlight, and then you keep watering and keep saying, what happens to that little seed? It grows. The sprout comes out. I love sunflower seeds because the sunflower seed stays on the head for a couple of days before it comes out. Right? It's nourishment. Everything that our parents should be doing to us is to help feed us so that we can grow. They are to educate us. They are to encourage us. And more than anything, they are to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't have these things right now, pray for them. You have that power to make a difference in your family. And if they don't change, that's fine, because you know better. You can grow up and be the difference. You know, one generation to the next generation, there's a lot of ties and a lot of bonds that makes us look exactly like each other. But there's also so many differences in philosophies and the way we do things. You can still be your parents. You can be better. So in conclusion, it may have been a little hard to hear these things because we reflect on our own relationships. And that's what sermons are supposed to do. It helps us reflect. So in conclusion, I want you guys to know this one thing. All you youth, God loves you. And regardless of where you are and what your relationships are, He has a plan. He has a plan that is so powerful and so mighty, it's going to affect your whole lives. He's going to call you into places. He's going to ask you to do things. And He's going to call upon you to say, yes, you are my God. And those of you guys who have not made that statement, that's what church is all about. We want to raise you up and we want to build you up in that love so that you can be obedient, so that you can be respectful, so that you can see the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And second, we all made mistakes. Every single one of us did, even parents. So this is a good time to be gracious towards one another. If you need to make things right with mom and dad right now, I don't know, but if there's something that you need to make right, you ought to do that. Say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. And ask for forgiveness. And then that's how this life goes. And lastly, whatever we need, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our faith, anything, it can all be found in Jesus. The Bible says in verse 21, chapter 5 of Ephesians, do all these things as if you're submitting unto the Lord. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your blessings of love and life. God, we ask that you would protect us, Father, as we seek you, as we seek in these relationships, that you would be the center, that you would draw all things together. God bless us. God keep us. Help us to remember all these things, Father, that in your grace and mercy and in your plans, there's great wisdom and great blessings in our life. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.